Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Ayin Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf's office. Only Zechon Shmatliba Gabriel Bashmuel. We're $9 Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud, and we're up to number two. In order to appreciate number two, let's go back to number one, and let's go back to what we're even addressing. The Mishnah. The Mishnah back in $9 Amud Aleph made the following statement. Let me read the actual Mishnah. Anyone who is also to marry to the congregation is permitted to marry one amongst the other. And Rav Yehuda says no. So here's what we know. We know there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. That's clear. And then there's a sheet of Reb Elazar, which for the time being we're not addressing at all. But we'll come back to the third sheet of the Mishnah. But certainly, here's what we know for sure. There's a machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. That part's clear. Now, after that, there's not a lot of clarity. First of all, we go back to the Mishnah, which started this whole discussion, and that's the Mishnah back on Samach Tesam at Aleph. And the Mishnah there gave us 10 different types of Jews, varying degrees of Yichus, starting from the best and moving its way down. And the Mishnah told us that basically anyone who is a psul, ger, charuri, mamzer, nesin, shesuki, asufi, so the Mishnah on Daf Samach Tes told us that they're not allowed to marry Kohen Levi v'Yisrael. So ostensibly, what our Mishnah is telling us is that anyone who is asa lavo bekal is mutal lavo zebezeb. If you can't marry into kal, so then you are allowed to marry one amongst the other. That ostensibly is what the Mishnah told us. Now, the problem with that, if you take a look at the Gemara from yesterday, the Gemara right after the Mishnah, we're just reviewing, but I'll read the first lines of the Gemara. Michael Asrim Lava Bakal. What exactly is meant when the Mishnah says Asr Lava Bakal? So first of all, the Gemara points out that whatever's being taught in our Mishnah 9 Dalet is basically already been taught on the Mishnah back on Samach Tes. And Vesu, Rav Yehuda Oser, and then really what the issue is then Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says no. What is he saying no to? So So first of all, Rav Yehuda is not taking the position that a Vadai can't marry a Suffolk and a Suffolk can't marry a Vadai, because that position is Rav Elazar's position in the Mishnah. So that can't be Rav Yehuda's position. Rav Yehuda comes before Rav Elazar. So the Gemara says, and then what do you want to tell me? That Rav Yehuda is talking about a ger being unable to marry a mamzeres, me to give a mamzeres ketani. That's not what the Mishnah says. So that can't be what Rav Yehuda is talking about. So really, what the Gemara has been struggling with since the Mishnah is basically, what is the Mishnah talking about? It's a very simple question. If the Mishnah Kipshuto, the Tanakam, is just repeating what we said back on the Mishnah on Samach Tes, and Rav Yehuda is saying no, and we don't even know what Rav Yehuda is saying no to. Okay. So that's the basic layout. So yesterday we offered one pshat, the pshat by Rav Yehuda the Amara, who said one pshat in the Mishnah, but the Gemara rejected that pshat that was given by Rav Yehuda. So now we're going to be going on to a second, a third, and a fourth pshat in the Mishnah. So we're continuing from yesterday on Ayin Dal Amud Beis, and we're up to number two. Am Rav Nassim Baroshia Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara now is going to quote Rav Nassim Baroshia the Amara, and he's going to offer the following pshat in our Mishnah. Kol Shekoin Asa Lisas Bito. A Kohen who is prohibited from marrying the daughter, Mainihu Ger Shanasa Giyaris, the daughter of whom? The daughter of a Ger and a Giyaris. Okay, so let's think about this for a moment. You have two converts getting married. Okay. The converts themselves are Jews, but as we've discussed, they're not Bakal. So what is the not everyone agrees to that, but let's just look right now for our purposes, let's assume that a ger is not part of kal. So now a ger and a geras get married, what is the resulting child? So you can make an argument. You can make an argument that the resulting child is a full-fledged Jew. In other words, the parents are now are gerim, so they're full-fledged Jews, or you can make the argument that the children are still gerim. So right now the Gemara says, let's argue that the ger and the geras who get married, their child is also going to have the status of a ger, meaning anal of not part of kal, and then furthermore we know that a kohen is not allowed to marry a gioris, And machlok, we saw machlokis yesterday between the Tanakhama and the Rashbi in terms of maybe there's a difference in terms of the age in which they convert. But again, let's just say kipshuto. A kohen is not allowed to marry a gioris. Let's say you have a ger and a gioris getting married, and they have a child. Is a kohen allowed to marry that child? So good. These are all things that need to be considered. So Rav Nasan Bar Yoshia says this is the pshat in the Mishnah. Kol shekohen asa lisa asbito. If a kohen is not allowed to marry their daughter, now their daughter might nihu a ger shenasa gioris uchirav laza ben Yaakov. So we're going to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Laza ben Yaakov. Now we have not yet been introduced to his opinion. That opinion is coming up later in not today's daf, not tomorrow's daf. But now, Friday's daf, Ein Zion. So we're going to see Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's position inside, in the Mishnah. In the meantime, however, just as a brief introduction, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that if a ger and a geros get married, and they have a child, that child, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, is not allowed to marry a Kohen. That child still has the status of a gioris and not allowed to marry a Kohen. So now, if we're going to adopt the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov over here in our Mishnah, this is what the Mishnah is saying. A Kohen who cannot marry the daughter of this relationship, meaning mom and dad are both gerim, so mutarim lavo zeh bezeh. This ger now is allowed to marry amongst all the latter cases of the Mishnah, meaning a mamzer and a nesin and a shesukin and a sufi. So this child is allowed to marry all those psulim. That is what we're saying the pshat in the Mishnah is. So the Gemara says, okay, interesting. So klalahu, the chol shekohen asa lisa asbito mutarim lavo zeh bezeh. So the Gemara says, but is that true? Meaning, is that going to always be true? That if the kohen can't marry the resulting daughter, so then that resulting daughter is allowed to marry all the later psulim of the Mishnah. Hari chol shenasa bas yisrael, the kohen asa lisa asbito. So let's start off with a very simple case. You have a chol marrying a bas yisrael. Chal marrying a bas yisrael, the resulting child is or is not allowed to marry a kohen. Not allowed to marry a kohen. I mean, the resulting child is a chalal, or if it's a female, it's a chalala. So the kohen cannot marry the resulting child. Asur nami lavo zeh bezeh. Now, can the child marry a mamzer? Absolutely not. Meaning, when you're a chalal, it just means that you're devoid of kedushas kahuna. But you're a yisrael. Mm-hmm. You are outside of not having Kedushas Kahuna, you're a full-fledged Yisrael who is in the Kahal. And you're absolutely not allowed to marry a Mamzer and a Sin and all the latter cases of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, so that's not going to work out. So the Gemara sidesteps this issue. Lokasha ke Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda. So the Gemara says, well, let's assume right now that we're going to hold like Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda, which we've cited his position a number of times already in the Masechta, and he's coming up later as well, and his position is that Benos Yisrael are mikvah tahara, meaning that if a Benos Yisrael has relations with a chalal, their child does not have any chalal status whatsoever. So the Gemara says v'harei chalal shenasa chalala. So the Gemara says, okay, but we only sidestepped the issue. We haven't really avoided the issue because let's just do the same thing again and now have both parents be chalalim. Mom's a chalala, dad's a chalal. They get married. Now the resulting child, is the kohen allowed to marry the resulting child? Of course not. The resulting child is a chalala. The kohen asa lisa bito, v'asa nami lavo zeh bezeh. And meanwhile, that resulting child, can that resulting child marry a mamzer? Absolutely not. So the Gemara says, so we don't have it. Meaning, we're looking for a Mishnah where the Kohen is not allowed to marry the resulting child, and that child is allowed to marry Mamzer and Asin and all the Psula mentioned in the Mishnah. But it's not true. A Kohen cannot marry the resulting child, and that resulting child cannot marry Mamzer and Asin, Asufi, Shasuki, etc., etc. Vesuha Mutasar. And then also the Mishnah says that we want a contrasting case where in one case it would be mutter, in the other case it would be aser. V'arei ger shenasa bas yisrael. So we have a ger marrying a Jew. The kohen mutter lisabito, and the kohen is allowed to marry their daughter. Meaning, again, this is something we're going to be discussing a couple days from now. But right now we are adopting the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that the resulting child has ger status only if both parents are gerim. If one of the parents is a ger and one of the parents is not a ger, specifically if, let's say, dad is a ger and mom is not a ger, the resulting child does not have ger status, and the resulting child can marry a kohen. Umutarim lavo zeh bezeh, and that resulting child, although is allowed to marry a kohen, still is eino bekal and is allowed to marry a mamzer. So once again, it doesn't fit into our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay. So even though now that was the second attempt to say a pshat in the Mishnah, so the Gemara says it's not going to work out. Ella, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Hacha Mamzer Me'achos, Mamzer Me'ishesish, Iga Beinayu. So now the Gemara is going to suggest that the possible distinction between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda is what exactly is going to create a Mamzer. This is a classic machlokus, which we already saw in Yevamos, which we've already discussed here in our own Masechta. We discussed it back at the end of the third perek. And basically, what the Gemara would like to do is suggest that this classic machlokus of what creates a mamzer is, in fact, the machlokus of the Mishnah between the Tanakama versus Rav Yehuda. So, mamzer me'achos, or mamzer me'ishesish, shika b'nayhu. If, let's say, a man would have relations with a sister or with a married woman, is the resulting child going to be a mamzer? Tanakama savra afila mamzer me'achos, nami havi mamzer. So, the Tanakama is of the opinion, yes, that when a man when a man has relations with a sister or with another married woman, so the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Or to put it succinctly, arayos is going to create mamzerim. Savar afila mamzer meachosanami. I'm sorry. Mamzer Rav Yehuda savar meishes ish have a mamzer meachosol have a mamzer. And Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that that eishes ish is going to yield a mamzer. But achoso is not going to yield a mamzer. So the Gemara says that is the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. My kamashul and Tanina is a mamzer. So the Gemara says, okay, that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. The Gemara says that that's something which we already knew. It's straight out of a Mishnah in Yevamos. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Yevamos. Ezu mamzer kol shu below yavo divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that any lav is going to create a mamzer. And Rishimana Temani omer kol shechayev malav kares bidei shamayim. Anything that has kares bidei shamayim. The halacha kidvar rav. And the halacha falls like Shimana Temani. And Rav Yehoshua Omer Kol Shechayev and Lav Mises Beis Din. No, and according to Rav Yehoshua, only if it's a capital crime, a crime punishable by Mises Beis Din, then and only then is the resulting child going to be a mamzer. So the Gemara says, so if you want to suggest that that's a pshat in our Mishnah, first of all, the Mishnah doesn't say it straight out, and secondly, we have a Mishnah in Yevamos that says it straight out. So why would our Mishnah cryptically talking about a machlokus, which was already discussed blatantly in the Mishnah Yevamos? So El Amarava, so the Gemara says, okay, so this is going to be our fourth and final attempt at saying a pshat in our Mishnah. Ger Amoni Umoavi Ika Beinayu. V'hachi Kamar. Where our Mishnah is talking about a ger. And our Mishnah is speaking specifically about a ger who comes from either the nations of Ammon or Moab. Now, let's see it in the Mishnah. Meaning, let's read the Pshat in the Mishnah. V'hachi kamar. Kol asrim lavo bekal. Anyone who is prohibited to marry into the kal. Umayni hu ger Ammoni Moavi. So you have now a convert of either from Ammon or Moab. They are asrim lavo bekal. They cannot marry into the congregation, and as we'll discuss in greater detail, that's forever. Meaning, the halacha is that the next generation. Now, we also know it only applies to the males; it doesn't apply to the females. But okay, mutarim lavo zeh bezeh. So the Gemara says, so they're allowed to marry mamzer, nesin, and all the subsequent psulim in the Mishnah. So I hachi my Rav Yehuda oser. So now, if that's the correct pshat in the Mishnah, so then what's Rav Yehuda's position? So afa pisha Rav Yehuda oser ger ba mamzeres. Now here is the way we're going to understand Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda does not allow a ger to marry mamzeres, right? Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that a ger is considered part of the kahal, and therefore ger cannot marry a mamzeres. Hani mili ger derai lava bekal. Yes. But the ger, in order for the ger to be prohibited to marry a mamzeres, according to Rav Yehuda, it has to be a ger that's eligible to marry a Jew. But if the ger is not eligible in marrying a Jew, that ger is not considered part of the kahal, and that ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Aval ger amone moavi, dein ruin lava bekal, lo. Okay, that is now the pshat in the Mishnah. So finally, after four attempts, the Gemara finally settles on a pshat in the Mishnah. Very good pshat in the Mishnah. Although, truth be told, is that we have to read a lot more into Rav Yehuda. Well, it's Rav Yehuda only says one word. so in any event, you're going to have to read more into the sheet of Rav Yehuda. But now we have finally a pshat in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah is describing kol asur lavo bekal mutam lavo zebezeh, we're speaking about a ger, but specifically ger Moavi Amoni Moavi. So they're allowed to marry, according to the Tanakhama, they're allowed to marry Mamzeris. Reason being is because the Tanakhama is of the opinion, like Rav Yossi, which the Gemara earlier paskened is a halacha, that a ger is allowed to marry Mamzeris. And what Rav Yehuda is teaching us is, normally I disagree. Normally I would say that a ger cannot marry a mamzeres, because normally I'm of the opinion that a ger is not part of is part of kahal, and therefore is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. But I'm telling you, in one area I'm going to capitulate to the position of the Tanakhama, to the position Rav Yossi, in that a ger moni moavi, who is not fit to marry into the kahal, they're allowed to marry a mamzeres. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We are now continuing. This is the next Gemara is a sugya that we already discussed back in Yevamos, but it fits in. We're discussing Yichus at length right now, so this is going to fit in with what we have been and what we continue to discuss. Ben Teisha Shana V'Yom Echad, if I have a boy 9 years of age, and again, we know the threshold, 9 years of age, obviously not an adult yet, but his Bia is qualified as an actual Bia. So, and if that boy is Ger Amoni Moavi, Mitzvah Ve'adomi, Kusiv Nesin Chala Umamzer, if that boy comes from any one of the listed psulim, Shebao Al HaKohanes V'Alaviyah V'Abbas Yisrael, and has relations with either a woman who is a Kohanes or a Leviyah or a Bas Yisrael, Pasluha, he will disqualify her. Meaning that Bia is considered a qualified Bia, and therefore she will be Pasul. Pasul for what? Take a look at the Rashi in the bottom, second to last Rashi in the Amud. Lekohanes mina truma umina kahuna. Meaning that once this woman has Bia with this, he's not even a young man, he's a boy, but still, he's over 9 years of age, so his Bia is considered a Bia, and because he's a Psul, so she now becomes Pasul. She cannot eat Truma. Now, if she's not a Kohanis, she's not going to be eating Truma, but if she ends up marrying a Kohen, which and in a moment we're going to explain, she can't even do that as well, but she, in other words, she will never be qualified to eat Truma, and furthermore, she can't marry a Kohen. So, that is the opinion of the Tanakhama of this Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shezaro Pasul, Posul. V'chol She'in Zaro Pasul, Eino Posul. Rabbi Yossi says, I basically agree, but I'm going to qualify the threshold a little bit different. If the resulting child cannot marry a Kohen, so then the Bia, the subsequent Bia of this man, Pasul's her. But if the child can marry a Kohen, so then this Bia is not going to apostle her. Okay, that's the basic idea. We'll put that in more concrete terms in just a moment. That is the opinion number two in the Braisa. That was Rabbi Yossi. And then finally, one more shita in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol she'ata nose bito, ata nose amanasa. V'chol she'i ata nose bito, I ata nose amanasa. And the third shita in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if you can marry the daughter, you can marry the widow. And if you cannot marry the daughter, you cannot marry the widow. Okay, so basically, a discussion that we're having right now in this Braisa, what exactly is going to be disqualifying a woman from kahuna, both from the eating of the truma and from marrying a kohen? So, bias psul, having relations with a man who is prohibited to her, is going to disqualify her. And now it's just a question of what that threshold is. So the Tanakhama's position is very clear because he actually spells it out. As long as he's a Ben Bia, as long as his Bia qualifies as a Bia, meaning he's above 9 years of age, and he is either a Ger from Ammon or Moab, or he's an Egyptian or a Domi, he's a Kusi, he's an Asin, he's a Chalal, he's a Mamzer. So any one of those boys who has relations with her is going to disqualify her. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. His position is very clearly laid out. What is not very clearly laid out is the opinion of Rav Yossi and the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And if you read their positions carefully, which we're about to do, their positions sound awfully similar to one another. So the Gemara is going to clarify. Ma'iga bein Tanakama ubein Rav Yosi. So we got to now basically paint the corners in terms of what exactly is the distinguishing characteristic between the Tanakama and Shita number two, Rav Yosi. I'm Rav Yochanan, mitzri sheni ika beinaihu. So Rav Yochanan says it's very simple. Not very simple. Simple enough. Well, let's talk now about a second generation Egyptian convert. Now, ushneim lalamdu ala mikohen gadol ba'almana. And in terms of where the source for this discussion comes, it comes from an almana marrying a kohen gadol. The Tanakama savar. Now, when it comes to a kohen gadol and almana, we know that she becomes a chalala with that bia. That the Torah says. Shematzino, take a look at Rashi, third line down in Rashi, mikohen gadol ba'almana. Shematzino shemachala bibiaso. When a kohen gadol has relations with an almana, she, the almana, becomes a chalala. Ki yafin lalakaman milo yichalal shnei chalulim b'mashma. The Torah says lo yichalal, and the double lamed tells us that there actually are two resulting chalalim. One, their child. I should reverse the numbers. Two, their child. One, she herself. She herself would become a chalal through that bia. So basically what we're learning is that when a woman has a bias psul, she becomes a chalal. Now, so the prototype, the source material is going to be a kohen gadol to an almana. Now, that's the source material. Now, it's just a question of how to extrapolate from there. So that, the Gemara says, is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yosi. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Tanakama sefer ki kohen gadol ba'almana. Just like a kohen gadol with an almana, ma kohen gadol ba'almana should be also ba'avera. The act of bia is an avera. Uposel ba. And she becomes disqualified. Of course, should be also ba'avera posel. Any prohibited bia disqualifies her and converts her into a chalala. Okay. That is the opinion of the Tanakama.
Can you still do that?
Yeah, Cohen is unaffected by the bia.
He's not affected.
No. Okay, now Rabbi Yossi Savar, I know it's an interesting discovery. Right when, okay,
huh?
She can't eat truma. She can't marry a kohen. She's a chalala. So now the Rabbi Yossi Savar ki kohen gadol. Now Rabbi Yossi says, look, we're going to take the same source material, but consider ki kohen gadol ba'amana ma kohen gadol ba'amana shezara pasul uposel avkol shezara pasul. Posel. So Rabbi Yossi says, okay, I'm with you in terms of what the source material is, but consider, what happens when the Kohen Gadol has relations with the Almana? So she becomes a Chalala, and her children become disqualified, meaning the children themselves become Chalalim. So the threshold in which a woman who has a Bias Psul is going to become Posel is only when she and her subsequent children are going to be affected. But if the subsequent children are not going to be affected, she's not going to be affected as well. And therefore, consider lafukim mitzri sheni shein zara pasul. Damakra banim asher yivaldu lahem dor shishi avalem bekal Hashem. And consider that when you have a second generation Egyptian, that child that they have will be perfectly permitted to marry into the Jewish people. So since the subsequent children are not going to be pasul, so therefore this type of bias iser is not going to reach the threshold where she herself is going to be aser. That is the opinion of Rav Yossi. Okay, now that we've laid out the difference between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi, and it's really a subtle difference. The only thing that separates the two is Mitzri Sheni. Now let's go over what the difference is between Rav Yossi and the third sheet, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amar Kosh Atanose Bita Atanose Amanasa V'choshi Iatanose Bisbito Iatanose Amanasa. If you can marry the daughter, you can marry the widow, meaning mom. If you can't marry the daughter, you can't marry the widow. Meaning, so basically the Bias Psul is going to be based on whether or not the child is going to be Pasul as well. And that sounds awfully similar to the opinion of Rav Yossi. So Ma'ika ben Rav Yossi v'shem Gamliel. So Amar Ula Gir Amoni Moavi Ika Beinayu. So there's going to be a difference between Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that is specifically about a convert who is an Amon Moabite. Ushneim lalamdua ela mikohen gadol ba'amana. And again, the source material is agreed to by everybody. What is the source that a woman becomes a chalala with a bias psul? It's a kohen gadol tonamana. Now the Gemara says, now let's consider. Rav Yossi savor ki kohen gadol ba'amana, ma kohen gadol ba'amana shezara posel uposel af kol shezara posel posel. So according to according to Rabbi Yossi, look, what happens in the case of a Kohen Gadol with an Amana? She becomes a Chalala, and the children, or the children, whatever child she has, she can have a boy, she can have a girl, it doesn't matter, the child is going to be a Chalal or Chalala, respectively, boy and girl. So anything that's going to yield the same result is going to be a Bias Psul, and turn her into a Chalala. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel kohen gadol be'amana. Now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I agree, but here's the point of separation. Ma kohen gadol be'amana shekol zaro pasol af kol shekol zaro pasol. Afil nekevos lafik ger amon moavi den nekevos avik sheira lava bekal. The reason why, if a ger Amoni or a Ger Moavi has relations with a woman, she does not become a Chalala, is because look at the source material. The source material is a Kohen Gadol with a Amana. Any child that they have is going to be Pasul, whether she has a boy, whether she has a girl. If a Ger Amoni or a Ger Moavi has relations with a woman, is every child they're going to have be a Pasul? No. Only the male children are going to be Pasul. The female are not going to be Pasul. So since the resulting child is not necessarily going to be a Pasul, so therefore this Bias Psul, it's still a Bia which is Usur, but this Bias Psul is not going to arrive at the threshold of making her a Chalala. That is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. And then the Gemara here quotes the Gemara in Yevamos that the psul of Moav and Ammon, when they convert and they're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, is only applicable to the males, not to the females. Okay, Ad Kan. That takes us now to the end of that discussion. Again, there's a discussion we had back in Yevamos as well, in terms of what exactly is a Bias Psul that will render a woman a Chalala, disqualifying her for both Truma and marrying a Kohen. So basically, the general idea is a Bias Psul, and then the Machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi and Shimon Gamliel is what exactly is the threshold of Bias Psul. Okay, with subtle differences between the three Shitas. Continuing in the Gemara, we're on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. We are halfway down the Amud, three lines before the lines get wide. Amar of Chista Hakomodim, Amanas Isa Shepsula Lekuhuna. If I have a widow from an Isa, now Isa is a doe. It's an, obviously here meant as an expression. And what is it actually describing? It's describing that her husband is in a state of I don't know. And the analogy is that when it comes to dough, a whole bunch of things go into dough. You don't know what it is exactly, but it's water, it's flour, and then after that, depending on whichever recipe you follow. But the idea is that we don't know. So, if you have a widow of a questionable, coming from a questionable person, shepsula lekuhuna. So she is disqualified from marrying a Kohen. Take a look at Rashi. Amanas Isa. So Rashi over here writes, Biksuvas Mefarish Amanas Safek Chalal. Shahaisa Meurevis Bisfekos Bisfekos. We're talking about where she is a widow of a Chalal, but a Chalal who had a whole bunch of questions. Bala haya safek, I'm sorry, besfekos bala. Haya safek vihi ba'a mikocho. Dahavile sfek sfeka. So, next Rashi. Lemute amanas isa. No, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought Rashi over here was going to give us the case. Okay. Okay, anyway, the in terms of what exactly is the case, so basically the case goes like this. Okay, I'm sorry, I thought it was Rashi over here. It's not. So the case is as follows. She is married, this widow was married to a possible chalal. Now, possible chalal meaning that this person was a result of a Kohen maybe marrying a Grusha. What does that mean, maybe marrying a Grusha? Meaning that this his mother was previously married, and she may have either been divorced or widowed. Right, the classic example of suffik in this regard is, let's say her husband threw her a get, and suffik karavlo, suffik karavlo, not sure whether the get landed within his proximity or within her proximity, and then the man died. So now, this woman may or may not be a grusha. This woman then married a kohen, and now the resulting child. So this resulting child now is what the Gemara here is referring to as an Issa. Okay, he's now, he may or may not be a challah. And again, that's going to be predicated on whether or not mom may or may not have been a grusha. Okay, so now, okay, I'm sorry, I thought Rashi was going to go over all that, but that was, okay, that was all described back in Ksuvas. So, now you have this widow being married to this man. So now, is she herself going to be a chalala? Well, again, we know that a B.S. Psul is going to make her a chalala. But we don't know whether the status of this man was either a chalala or not a chalala. So, Rav Chista says that everyone's in agreement that if the widow of this suffolk, she will, from that point going forward, will be pasul lekahuna. She cannot marry a kohen. Now, how do we arrive at that conclusion? Ma make a bahani tonight, because consider that we just went through three shitas amongst the Tanayim, what is considered B.S. Psul. We went through the Tanakama, followed by Rav Yossi, followed by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, of the three, who is the most makel? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that what doesn't arrive at the threshold of B.S. Psul when the convert is a Moavi Amoni. But that's it. Meaning, other than that, the B is going to be as B as Psul. And now Rav Chista comments, and Rav Chista says, look, of all the time, who's the most make? Shimon Gamliel. V'kamer kosha atanose bito atanose amanaso. And he's of the opinion that if you can marry the daughter, you can marry the widow. V'choshi atanose bito atanose amanaso. And if you can't marry the daughter, you can't marry the widow. L'mu'ute mai. Now, when he gives this kind of description, what is he excluding? L'mu'ute amanasisa. Shepsula l'kuhuna. So the widow of the Issa, was she herself is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Okay, so Rav Chista is making the argument that everyone's in agreement. Now let's go back to Rashi for just a moment. Not yet. Let's just read a little bit more Gemara. Now the Gemara notes that even though Rav Chista says everyone agrees, what he meant was everyone in the Braisa that we just learned together agrees that the widow of this Safek Chalal is not allowed to marry a Kohen. But the Gemara notes, however, that there is a Tana who doesn't agree with that. And specifically, it's the Mishnah in Adios, Dit 9. Mishnah in Adios starts off, Hey, Rav Yoshi ben, Rav Yoshua, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, Ala Manasisa Shikshir Lekuhuna. If I have a widow of this Safek, she's allowed to marry a Kohen. My time I have is fake Sfeka. This fake Sfeka Lekula, it's a double doubt, and the double doubt we're allowed to be Mako. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Lamute Amanas Isa. The whole the Iata Nose Bito Shema Chalal Haya, Vitana Bas Chalal Zachar Psulam, and the Kula Olam Iata Nose Amanasa. Fine. So Rashi says that, again, this is Rashi explaining Rav Chista's statement that all three of these Tanaim would agree that you're not allowed to marry, a Kohen is not allowed to marry this woman who possibly would be a Chalal. Since her child is possibly a Chalal, she herself is possibly a Chalal, and therefore Kohen may not marry her. Masha Ein Kain, the Mishnah in Adio, says that a Kohen is allowed to marry such a woman, this widow of the Issa. Why? So our Gemara explaining the Mishnah in Adio says it's a Sfeik Sfeika. Sveik Sveik Rashi, Bala Haya Safek, Vihi Ba Mikocho Lihi Pasel. Because her husband, her former husband, was himself a Safek, whether or not he was or was not a Chalal. She, in turn, is only a derivative of that Safek. Now, the truth of the matter is that this is not a classic example of a Sveik Sveika. A double doubt is where you are able to ask two independent questions in terms of whether or not this is prohibited or this is permitted. These are not two independent questions. Meaning her validity is going to be contingent on his validity. Whatever his status is, that's going to be her status. She is admittedly one step removed, But in terms of what the suffix actually is, her suffix is really no different than what his suffix is. This is not a classic example of sfeik sfeika. Okay, but for our purposes, however, that's the idea behind the Mishnah Nedios. Since she herself is not the source of the suffix, she's only a derivative of the suffix, so therefore the Mishnah Nedios is of the opinion that this Amana is in fact allowed to marry a Kohen. Although, Rav Chisda points out, this Mishnah Nedios is running contrary to the Braisa that we learned on the bottom of the previous Amud. Okay. Avada Mevada Mutter. Amar of Yudam Rav Halacha Kareb Lazar. Finally, now we get to the third sheet of our Mishnah. The Mishnah back on yesterday's daf. The third sheet in the Mishnah was the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Now we have Rabbi Eliezer, but if you look on the side of the Gemara on yesterday's daf, you'll note that every time it comes up, you should change it to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, it's a small change, taking out the Yud, but in other words, okay, that's the Masorah that we have. Who is allowed to marry? Only somebody who is definitively a mamzer is allowed to marry somebody who is definitively a mamzeris. But anyone who is a suffix, like the shasuki, like the asufi, is not allowed to marry a mamzer. That is Rebbe Lazar Shita of the Mishnah. I'm Rebbe Yudam Rav, halacha ka Rebbe Lazar. So now the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, but that's the halacha. Now as I mentioned yesterday, it's a difficult halacha to process in that if you're a suffix, so then who are you allowed to marry? And I don't have an answer to that question.
Another suffix.
Rav Elazar says, a suffix is not allowed to marry a suffix.
No.
Right? Rav Elazar in the Mishnah said that a vada can't marry a suffix can't marry a vadai, and sfeikim is sfeikin asar. Okay, so it is a difficult shita to process. The marriage, in other words, their ability to marry seems to be precluded. Okay, I leave that as an open-ended question. But the Gemara says that halacha is like Rav Elazar. Kiyamri is coming to Shmuel. So this was said over to Shmuel. So Amar li Hillel Shona Asar Yuchsin Alam Mibava V'Kulam Mutarim Lavo Zeh B'Zeh V'Atamar Talacha K'Rav Elazar. So Shmuel's bewildered. I mean, do you remember what we learned at the beginning of this parak? Back on Samech Tes Amud Aleph, we learned that there were Asar Yuchsin, that there were 10 levels of genealogy, and they're allowed to marry one another. Now, don't take the statement super literally. Doesn't mean that all 10 are allowed to marry one another, because we know that's patently not true. What it means are the latter cases, the case numbers 5 through 10, are allowed to marry one another. Now, including that is going to be the definitive mamzer, and including that is going to be all your suffix mamzerim, your asuf and your shasuki. So, in other words, and Hillel taught that Mishnah. So basically, Shmuel saying to Rav, how can you paskin the halacha like Rav Elazar, when meanwhile, clearly the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of the parak, doesn't agree with that, and presumably that's the halacha. Virami derav adarav. Now the Gemara, okay, so Shmuel basically says, can't be. Can't be. Now the Gemara notes that even Rav seems to be inconsistent within his own position. Because Rami d'Shmuel d'Shmuel, and by the way, Shmuel also seems to be consistent as well. Ditmar, Arusa she'ibra, let's say you have a woman who is betrothed. Now betrothal means that it is the first stage of marriage. And she is now pregnant. Okay, it's a bit of an issue because she doesn't live with her husband yet. So who is, unless they're in the province of Yehuda. So who is the father? Okay. So Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer, Shmuel Amar Havlad Shesuki. So Rav's of the opinion that the Vlad is a Mamzer, and Shmuel's of the opinion that the Vlad is a Shesuki. Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer, Motabam Mamzeris. Now Rav's of the opinion that the child is a Mamzer, and therefore allowed to marry a Mamzeris. Ushmuel Amar Havlad Shesuki, Vasabam Mamzeris. And Shmuel's of the opinion that the child is a Shesuki, and therefore not allowed to marry a Mamzeris. What just came out over here? What just came out over here is that, according to Shmuel, the child is a shesuki, and therefore the child is not allowed to marry a mamzeris. Meaning, according to Shmuel, a suffix is not allowed to marry a vadai. But didn't Shmuel just make the argument that all the groups are allowed to marry one another, and that was the first Mishnah, and then Hillel taught us that, and so even if the child is a shesuki, the child should be able to marry a mamzeris. So what's Shmuel doing over there? And furthermore, Rav says the child is a mamzer. Rav can't mean that the child is absolutely a mamzer. We don't know for absolute certainty that the mamzer. What Rav probably means is that the child is most probably a mamzer, meaning the child is a suffix. And then Rav said, oh, by the way, the child is allowed to marry a mamzeris. We don't know for sure the child is a mamzer, and yet Rav is of the opinion that the child may marry a mamzeres. That also goes against what Rav just told us, that the halacha is like Rav Elazar. If the halacha is like Rav Elazar, this child is not allowed to marry a mamzeres because we don't know definitively that the child is a mamzer.
If the woman is engaged, why isn't there a chazaka that she actually...
Okay, stay tuned. Good question. So epoch. So the Gemara says Rav Amar Havlat Shusuki, Shmuel Amar Havlat Mamzer. So the Gemara says, so okay. So this question is so strong and it really has Rav and Shmuel crossing themselves. So the Gemara says, so in order to create a solution, we're going to have to flip Rav and Shmuel. Rav is of the opinion that the child is a Shusuki, therefore prohibited from marrying a Mamzeres. And Shmuel is of the opinion that the child is a Mamzer, permitting the child to marry a Mamzeres. So Tartalamali. So the Gemara says, now what comes out is that basically we're having nothing new being stated over here. Meaning, what comes out now is that according to Rav, a suffer can't marry a vaday. Because Rav passing like a Rav Elazar. Excuse me. But we knew that already. And Shmuel's coming out to say that a suffek is allowed to marry a mamzer. But again, we knew that already. So what's new that's being taught over here? Tzricha. Deed mar baha baha kamar Rav mishum derov chair metzlah. The Gemara says, because let's consider. Let's consider that in the case where the woman had a child and we don't know who dad is, meaning the classic case of a shisuki. Okay, we don't know who dad is. But of the pool of candidates of who dad could be, most men would result in making a kosher child. So, ava hasam derov psulam etzla. But when you have the arusa who now got impregnated and we don't know who dad is. So, if we just basically pool the candidates of men, who's going to produce a mamzer? The answer is everybody but one. Meaning, any man who has relations with her, barring her arus, is going to produce a mamzer. So maybe the argument you could have made is, that child is pretty much a mamzer. Meaning, any man who has relations with her, she's an ashes ish. Any man who has relations with her is going to produce a mamzer. So I might have thought, ema modele Shmuel, that maybe in such a scenario, Rav would agree to Shmuel. You know what? That child is... In other words, I don't know for sure that the child is a mamzer, but you can make a really strong argument that the child is a mamzer. And then the Gemara now makes, and Ben, this is your argument that you made earlier, now the Gemara is going to make it, is that in the case of the Arusa, actually we can make an argument going in the other direction. Meaning, yes, it's true that if any man has relations with her, barring her Arus, the child is going to be a mamzer, but if you're asking the question, who did she most likely have relations with? And who most likely impregnated her? Of course, it's going to be the Arus. In other words, they're already at stage one of marriage. Now, they're prohibited from having relations with one another. And that prohibition, the Rambam writes, is an Issa de Rabbanan. They're prohibited from having relations with one another, but they're married. So, if you're going to ask the question, who's dad? The dad was most probably the Arus. So, Ava Bahaim Amod L'Shmua. But in the case where a woman is who was not an Arus, and she was impregnant, she had a child, and who's dad, and we don't know, so then I would say that the child very much could be a mamzer. So I might have thought that then in such a scenario, Rav would agree to Shmua. And therefore, the child would be allowed to marry a mamzer at Tzricha. That is why I need to repeat both positions. Or the Gemara says, or maybe no. Maybe now let's not flip the sheetahs around. Or my mamzer to kama rav, lav mutter b'mamzeres, ela de aser b'bas Yisrael. And it could just simply be that, let's leave everything as it was. Let's not flip around the sheetahs of Rav and Shmuel. But basically, let's say the following. Rav described, again, we're talking about the impregnated Arusa. So Rav described the child as a mamzer. Rav is not saying that the child is absolutely a mamzer. All Rav is saying is that child cannot marry a bas Yisrael. Ushmul amar havlat shesuki to aser bebas Yisrael. And Shmuel saying that the child is a shesuki. You know what that means? That means that the child is not allowed to marry a bas Yisrael. But the Gemara says, now, if that's really what both of them meant, you know what both of them are saying? The same thing. Ihachi hainu derav. So now Shmuel and Rav are essentially saying the same thing. Arusa got pregnant. We don't know who. We don't necessarily know who the father is. So you know what? Questionable. And therefore the child cannot marry a bas Yisrael. Okay, but Now it no longer is a machlokas. Now they're just saying the same thing. Elamai shesuki shemeshaskan osomi din kahuna. So the Gemara says, well, shesuki means that they are precluded from marrying a kohen. Pshita hashem midin yisrael mishatkinalei midin kahuna mibayi. But then, of course, you're saying nothing. Not nothing, but nothing that's so obvious. Nothing that isn't obvious. Meaning, this child can't marry Yisrael. And the child can't marry a Kohen? Of course. The child can't marry Yisrael. The child for sure can't marry a Kohen. Elamai shesuki shemashaskan osom nichse aviv. Well, shesuki means that if, let's say, this child takes his quote-unquote father to court, the dad's going to look at him and say, I don't know why you think I'm dad, meaning your mother had a child out of wedlock. You're pointing your finger at me saying I'm dad. I'm not dad, and you're not getting any of the estate. So Pshita, but the Gemara says, but that's obvious. Miyadin Navu Amanu. So we don't know who the father is. He can't arbitrarily decide that that's dad, and therefore he's entitled to part of the estate. So Lo Tzricha De Tafa. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Chiddush is that this child not only was convinced that this is dad, but so convinced that he went over to the estate and he was toe-faced and he took some of the estate. So sometimes in halacha, right, you shouldn't grab, but sometimes in halacha, it's, you know, the halacha will not award you, but basically once you take it, allow you to keep it. But and the chiddush over here is that we won't even allow that over here. Ibai say mamai shesuki beduki. Or maybe no. Maybe what Shmuel, when the Shmuel used the term shesuki over here, he meant the following. He meant that it's a beduki. Shabot kinesim of almost the kashin ivalti, ne'emenes. So the Gemara says, in that, what Shmuel is saying over here is that if we go over to mom and say to mom, look, you're not fully married and you're pregnant. You want to tell us who dad is? And mom says, sure, gladly. And she provides the information of who dad is. So, and she's believed. Maybe that's what Shmuel's saying, that the word shesuki over here means beduki, like we said back in the Mishnah, by the opinion of Abba Shal. So the Gemara says, Karebi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, now what comes out is as follows. So Shmuel's making a statement, which is basically, I subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe Gamliel, that is Rebbe Gamliel of the first parak of Ksuvos, which we went over just yesterday. So the Gemara says, Ha'amar Shmuel Charazimna. So the Gemara says, okay, here's the problem. The problem is, we have not covered any new territory. We knew this already. That Shmuel Pasuk like Rebbe Gamliel. Did now, first we're going to reintroduce ourselves to the Mishnah Ksuvos. Ha'isam Uberz V'amrlam Mativa Shal Uberzem Ishponi V'koin Hu. Rebbe Gamliel V'Rebbe Lezer Omer Ne'emenes Rebbe Yeshua Omer Eino Ne'emenes. So the Mishnah Ksuvos, which basically tells us that according to Rebbe Gamliel, a woman is extended credibility to identify who the father is. V'amr Rebbe Yehuda Amr Shmuel. And on top of that, the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel Halachic Rebbe Gamliel. So the Halachic follows like Rebbe Gamliel. So now, we are basically at the point where we're going to keep Rav and Shmuel's positions as they originally were. Shmuel says that the child is a shesuki, to which now we're interpreting Shmuel to mean that if we were to ask mom who the father is and she identifies who the dad is, we're going to believe the woman. Which basically leads the Gemara to the point now, which is, we knew that already. We knew that Shmuel holds like Rebbe Gamliel. He actually says the halacha is like Rebbe Gamliel. So what's news? So the Gemara says, "Deima hasam havamina hasam rov ksherim etzla, ava hachar derov psulim etzla, ema lo." So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, there's a difference because in our case, we're talking where she's an arusa, which means that, barring one person, her arus, if anyone else had a relation with her, the child is going to be a mamzer. So maybe over here, being that the pool of people who are potential candidates to be the father are going to yield a mamzer, maybe here we wouldn't believe her. So the Gemara says, "Hachad rab sulmetzla emolot so tzricha." Therefore, they're both necessary. Okay. The rest of today's daf is dedicated to the topic of kusi. It's a good stopping point. It really is the next part is a new topic altogether. So let's start fresh tomorrow with a new topic. Let's quickly recap everything we said this morning. Again, the Mishnah going back to Ayin Dalam and Aleph discussed the anyone who is Asalav Abakal is Mutalav Ozebezeh. And finally, after much discussion in the Gemara, three attempts which seem to have failed. The Gemara's fourth and final attempt in the Mishnah is a pshat, which is that the Tana Kama is discussing a ger, but specifically the ger of an Ammonian, a Moavi, who is Asalav Abakal. and mutter and to marry a mamzer, a mamzeres. Why would that be? Because they are not considered part of Kahal. And what Rav Yehuda is saying is, generally speaking, I disagree. I think a ger is considered part of Kahal, and therefore ger is not allowed to marry mamzeres. However, what Rav Yehuda is saying in our Mishnah is, yes, but here I think it's different because a ger amoni and a ger moavi are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So so therefore they're allowed to marry mamzeres. That is the final shot in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Huda. And then the Gemara quoted the threshold of a Bias Psul, three opinions in terms of what is considered a Bias Psul that renders a woman a Chalala, unable to eat Shum and unable to marry a Kohen. Three Shitas of the Tanakam, Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Rav Chista goes even one step further. Even if the relation is with a Suffolk Chalal, so the resulting Bia is going to make her Psul. Although the Gemara points out that the Mishnah in Adios disagrees with this position, the Mishnah in Adios, the Gemara here describes as being a fake sveka, and we described that that's fake sveka is a little bit different. And then a question of how we pass in the halacha, because there was a third sheet in our Mishnah, which is Rebbe Lazar, who says that a suffik is not allowed to marry a vada is not allowed to marry a suffik, a mamzeres cannot marry a shesuki. Machlok is between Rav and Shmuel, who we paskin like. Rav says that we paskin like Rav Elazar. Shmuel says that we paskin like the first Mishnah, that a suffik is allowed to marry a suffik is allowed to marry a vadai. And then a question of how to understand how to align the shitas of Rav and Shmuel based on other things that they said. Okay. That is basically a recap of our Gemara from today. Tomorrow we start off with the topic of a kusi. Kusi being Gerei Emes or Gerei Arayas.